book of Acts, chapter number 26, and I'll not read the whole chapter for time's sake, but if you know where we're at in the Bible here, Paul has been in prison. He's in chains and bondage, and now he's been sent to trial, and he's standing before Agrippa. And Agrippa, in verse 1, permits Paul to speak for himself, and Paul does what Paul always did. He just starts bragging on the Lord, and he started talking about where the Lord saved him and what he had done for him and what he used to be and how God had changed his life. That's a good testimony, amen? Somebody says, speak for yourself, just tell them what God's done for you. Brother Frank, I've met people, you know, they say, well, I don't know how to be a soul winner. I don't know how to witness to somebody. It's simple. Just tell them what God did for you. Amen. It was good enough to get you saved. It's good enough for somebody else. Amen? But Paul goes through everything the Lord has done for him. And notice verse 28. We're in chapter 26. Notice verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Well, what sad words. Almost. Almost. And Paul answered in verse 29, and Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. In other words, Paul said, maybe with the exception of the bonds that I'm in and these chains, maybe because they hurt and they're wearisome and cumbersome, maybe with the exception of these chains, Agrippa, I wish you and everybody else here were not just almost like me, but I wish you would get plugged in and be all together as I am. Now, as I travel around the country, north, south, east, west, you know what I see in our independent Bible-believing Baptist churches? I see a lot of almost. There's a whole lot of almost, amen, but not all together. We live in a day of just everything's casual. And that we've brought that environment and that atmosphere into our church. Just come if you feel like it. Come as you are. Do what you want. Leave like you were. A lot of almost, but very little altogether. And brother and sister, if we're ever going to do anything for God, if we're ever going to do a work for God, if we're ever going to see revival in these last days, it's going to take God's people, I mean getting all the way in and saying, I'm not going to be like Agrippa and be almost, but I'm going to be altogether. I'm so glad today that Jesus Christ went to Calvary and he didn't almost get the job done. He got it altogether done. They laid his body in a tomb, amen? And he didn't almost come out of that tomb. Thank God he altogether came out. And he's not almost in charge and in control today. I got good news, brother and sister. He is altogether in charge. He's altogether in control and he's on his throne. And if he's gone all the way for us, we ought to be willing, amen, to go all the way for him. Amen. Here, just by way of introduction, I see three different attitudes from three different people concerning the Lord, and I would say all three of these attitudes would be represented right here in these four walls this morning. First of all, we see a man by the name of Festus. You know who Festus represents? He represents those who hate the Lord. Now, I know we're sitting in church today and we supposedly love God, love the things of God and the Word of God, and surely there would be nobody here today that hate the Lord, but I dare say, amen, maybe even here today there might be somebody who hate God. You're here at church and we're glad for that. But I guarantee you, this world is full of people that hate God. Notice in verse number 24, it said, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. In other words, Festus said, Paul, you're crazy. You're mad. You're loco. I mean, he just interrupted what Paul was saying. And he said, you're crazy. And I'm looking at Festus and I'm thinking, you're the one that hates God. I say, you're crazy. If you noticed in society today, the same crowd that we look at and say, they're crazy, they're pointing their finger back at us. They say, we're crazy. Amen. I mean, there's a bunch of, crazy people out here. And they're trying to say, we're the ones that are crazy. I think it's pretty crazy for somebody to say that a baby in a womb, you know, it's not really alive yet. It's just a fetus. It's not alive. But then that same bird will go chain himself to a tree and say, oh, save the trees. Save the spotted whales. Spotted whales. Spotted owl. Amen. But then they do want to save the whales too. But it's okay just to murder that little baby. That's not a big deal. It's not really alive. It's just a fetus. I say that's crazy. But they think we're crazy because we say abortion is murder. Sounds pretty crazy to me. Oh, and then they'll say, well, you know, the sodomites, they didn't have a choice in the matter. They were that way from the womb. They were that way in the womb. They had no choice. It's not their fault. It's not sin. It's not. Well, just yesterday you said it wasn't even alive, and now you're saying it was a sodomite from the womb. I'm saying it. There's some crazy things going on in the world, brother and sister. And they're trying to say we're the ones that's crazy. Amen. I took my family here a while back down to Carowinds just to have a fun day, just riding roller coasters and getting sick. Amen. And we're walking through the park, and here comes two little old lesbian girls holding hands. Both of them had matching T-shirts that said straight out of the closet. I'm sad. And here's what I noticed, though. The one girl on one side over here, she looked like a pretty normal girl, Brother Frank. But then the other one over here, I mean, she had her hair all just blocked off and looked like a butch wearing boys' clothes, hat on backwards. You know what I thought? This girl on this side, she likes boys. She's really not a lesbian because she went and found a girl that looked just like a boy. And then you see the little sissy queers, amen. Don't get mad at me for saying that. I will not call them gay because they ain't happy. Gay means happy. They're the most miserable people in the world. When you see these little sissy things and, you know, they're holding hands. And one of them will almost look sort of manly, sort of. But then he's got some little boyfriend there, and I mean, he's trying to look like a woman. I'm thinking, this guy likes women because he found the closest thing he could to it. I'm just saying, that's crazy. But then they say, nope, you're crazy. Why, over in Dallas, Texas, just a few nights ago, amen, they killed 5 police officers, wound many more, and then our sorry, good-for-nothing president, he's going to get up and say, boy, them guns, it's the gun. That's crazy. That's Festus. You know, people that hate the Lord, they got issues. But yet they like to point the finger at us that love God and are trying to please God and say, they're crazy. Them Christians, they're crazy. Paul here in the text represents those who honor the Lord. Even in bondage, Paul was still bringing glory to God and praising the name of the lovely Lamb of God. I don't know about you, I want to honor God. Whether I'm on the mountaintop or in the valley, I want to bring honor and glory. Amen to God. He's been so good to me. But then Agrippa, who we just read about, he represents those who are holding out on the Lord. So the question this morning is, are you almost or are you all together? Are you like Agrippa? Are you holding out? Some of you this morning, you're holding out on God. You ain't been saved yet. There may be some today, you're saved, but you're still holding out on God. You have not submitted your life to God. You have not completely committed your life to Him. You still got one foot in the world and one foot in the church. And I say it's time to get all together in. Several things and I'm done and we'll go eat a bite. Number one, I believe Paul would tell you that he was altogether saved. Agrippa represents those who are almost saved but still holding out. But Paul was altogether saved. As a matter of fact, he said down there in verse number 13, his testimony, he said, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. He said, I tell you what, king, I was on that Damascus road and I saw a light from, I mean, he's singing, I saw the light before Hank Williams was ever born. What about that? Amen. Paul said, I saw the light and God saved me on the road to Damascus. Almost any time you find Paul standing before a group of people, he would tell about that happy, happy day when God came into his heart and changed his life. I'm glad this thing of salvation, brother, it's not a think so, hope so, maybe so. I'm glad it's a know so salvation. I'm going to tell you, there's not a lot of things I know. I'm not sure about everything, but one thing I know without a doubt, I know that I'm saved. I know that when I die, I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. I know that I'll never see or feel the flames of hell. Nothing that I've done, but it's what Jesus did on Calvary all them years ago. How about it today? Are you almost or are you all together? You realize this morning that hell is full of people that almost got saved. A salvation that almost gets you to heaven will land you in hell. You may be sitting here this morning in church on a pew dressed in your Sunday best, but if you're lost today without Christ, you're going to bust hell wide open. And we love you today, and God loves you. We don't want to see anybody die and go to hell, amen, but almost ain't going to get the job done. The cry today is, don't, amen, die without God saying, well, I'm almost, Paul, thou persuadest me. Hell is full of people that sat in church and heard a gospel message. Hell today is full of people that heard, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, but they gripped the back of that pew. Almost, Brother Frank, they moved. Almost they went to an altar. Almost they called on God. But they just sat there in their pride and stubbornness. And now they burn in the flames of hell. They'll never have another chance. There'll never be another gospel message. There'll never be another invitation. They're there for eternity. How about it today? Are you almost? Are you all together? I'm glad as a 19-year-old boy, I was raised in church. I was one of those almost. I was raised in church. Baptist church. Mom, Dad led the singing. Mom taught Sunday school. I went to Christian school all the way through junior high and high school and graduated. I was in my second year of Bible college when I was sitting in an old-fashioned meeting and a preacher preached that night, and God came by and convicted my heart, and I realized that night that all those things I were doing, Mom and Dad, that wasn't going to get it done. Singing in church wasn't going to save me. I'd even been baptized. Some of you, you've been baptized so many times. The fish, amen, they know your social security number. But that ain't going to get it done, brother. It's going to take more than being dunked in water. It's going to take more than signing your name on a card. They sang a while ago, he wrote my name on heaven's roll. Your name may be on the church roll, but what I want to know today, is it on God's roll? Is it on heaven's roll? Amen. If it's not, you need to get that thing settled, because I'm telling you, time is running out. Time's running out and almost ain't going to get the job done. Paul was altogether saved. How about you today? Some people say, oh, Brother Daniel, you think only Baptists are going to heaven. No, I'm not sure a lot of them are going. Now, we laugh, I know, but I'm serious too. So you're trying to talk me out of my salvation? I'm not trying. I couldn't talk you out of something you don't have. I'm just saying, are you almost or altogether saved? That was Paul's testimony. Not only that, though, I believe Paul was altogether satisfied. You know, he said in verse number 2, when Agrippa told him he could speak for himself, you know what Paul said? He said, I think myself happy. That's a satisfied man right there. I mean, Paul's not on the mountaintop. Brother Frank, Paul ain't at camp eating. Paul ain't at the steak dinner. Eating that big ribeye, amen. Paul's in chains. He's bound up. He don't know if he's going to live to see another day. But he said, you know what, Agrippa? I think myself happy. That's a satisfied man. Paul was altogether satisfied. Not that his circumstances were good. Not that the situations were wonderful, because they were not. But Paul knew the Lord. And Paul knew that the Lord knew him. And Paul knew that whether he lived or died, amen, he was going to do it for the glory of God. He was a satisfied man. I just want to go on record today and testify to the fact I'm satisfied with the Lord. I'm not looking for another God. I'm not looking for another way, amen. I love the Lord today, and I'm glad that He loves me. And I'm satisfied with Jesus today. Paul here in all his chains was more free than Agrippa in all his fine clothes and his robes. Christ will make you free. Amen. I don't need the things of the world. Man, the Lord's blessed me. He's given me a lot of good material things. There's nothing wrong with that. But all I need is Jesus. That's what I need. It's funny that we sing that little chorus, Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. But then we go out and get ourselves in thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of debt over stuff that we really don't have to have. It's not a need. It's just things we want. Uh-oh. Hit a little snag right there. But then we come to church. He's all I need. Really? It's not what your creditors think. Amen. Boy, would to God we'd just get satisfied with Him. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, I'm satisfied with the Lord today. I don't need what the world has. It'll be a good day when some of you will get satisfied with the Lord and quit worrying about the things of God. I mean, quit worrying about your sin and the things of the world is what I meant to say. We got so many people, they want to come to church, but they're really not satisfied with what they get here. So they go out and dabble in the world and dabble in sin. They come to church if they feel good. They come to church if the weather's just right and everything's just right. Amen. Then they'll come to church, but they're really not satisfied. It's time to get satisfied with Him. You get satisfied with Him, amen, you'll come to church instead of the auction.
Amen.
And you know what's sad, brother and sister? If we were to walk across the road today, Brother Frank, and start passing out gospel tracts and asking them, do you know the Lord? Oh, yeah, man, I got saved, you know, at youth camp, or I got saved at VBS, and oh, man, yeah, we're members of such and such church. Yeah, we love God, just not enough to go to church. We'd rather go to the auction. You know what that is? That's almost, but it ain't altogether. Well, glory.
Amen.
Altogether. Paul was altogether satisfied. He said, I think myself happy. You know, people see us as the children of God. We go through storms, don't we? We go through valleys. We go through troubles and hard times. Getting saved does not exempt us from trouble. But they look at us and they wonder, man, how do they smile? How do they still sing? How do they still rejoice? Because we know that the Lord is with us. And we know that the Lord has a purpose in everything. And we know that one day, no matter how bad it is down here, we're leaving this world and we're going home to a better world. Because we're satisfied. Well, I know this about Paul. He was altogether submitted. He said in verse number 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Paul said, I wasn't disobedient. Paul was altogether submitted. You know what? God's people ought to be submitted, of course, first of all to God. But then if we're submitted to God, we're going to submit to the people that God puts in our life. First and foremost, we'll submit to His Word. The commands that He gives us in this book, they will not be grievous, the Bible says. Now, I'll be honest with you, Brother Frank. There's times I read things in this book, and even as a preacher, I go, ouch. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
You ever read something in there and say, ah. You know what I don't do? I don't chunk the Bible to the side. I don't run down to the Christian bookstore and get an updated version that just changes.
Amen.
Takes the sin out, you know, and makes it better. I don't go looking for a new Bible. You know what I do? I go, all right, Lord, I want to be right with You. I want to be close to You. I'm going to submit to Your Word. Amen. Some of you young people, you need to learn how to submit to your mom and dad. Amen. And they ought to make you submit. They ought to make you obey. Amen, mom and dad. Amen. I might not have always wanted to obey. I might not have always wanted to submit. But they had ways of making me want to. Because you know what we had? All around our house, we had neat little weapons of mass destruction. Called paddles and belts and switches. Oh, my. That fixed your attitude real quick. But you young people, you ought to submit to your mom and dad. Well, I don't like the rules. I don't like the curfews, and I don't like them telling me how I ought to dress and what I can and can't wear, what I can and can't listen to, what I can and can't watch on TV. I just don't understand. Well, no, you don't understand. You're a child. You're a teenager. You don't understand. But mom and dad, they've been there. They've already been through all that, and they know what they're doing. They know the danger that is out there. They know the danger that is involved in the sin and drugs and bad relationships, and that's why they have the rules. And whether you understand it or not, get close enough to God that you'll submit to mom and dad and say, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. I may not understand it, but I do love you, mom and dad, and I'm going to live by the rules. Why don't you get submitted and quit being rebellious?
Amen.
Amen. We got a bunch of rebellious young people nowadays. But maybe they learned it from their parents. Because they've watched how the preacher won't submit to the man of God. They've watched how the parents will just come to church and sit there and act like they just love Jesus. And then all the way home and all the way over lunch, they sit there and talk about the preacher, the pastor, run him into the ground. They don't see their parents submitting. So the kids think, why should I submit to them? I think somebody needed to get a hold of that this morning. That's why the devil just sent that truck by for us all to go, Amen. So I don't think the preacher's always right. I've never met a preacher who was always right. But we are commanded in the Word of God to submit to the authority of the preacher, the shepherd that God gives us. That's his role. He's a shepherd. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. He gives the church an under-shepherd, and the sheep don't run the shepherd. Maybe our kids would get submitted to us, Mom and Dad, if we would submit to the shepherd. See, some of you, you're almost, but you ain't all together. And then we wonder why revival don't come. We wonder why we have meetings and it seems like people show up, but God never shows up. Nobody wants to submit. People have an authority problem nowadays. People do not like authority. You know what I've tried to teach my kids? When those red and blue lights come up behind us, because Daddy was speeding, that policeman, he's just doing his job. I don't like it. I still get out. I'm like, man, there he is. Man, he caught me. Man, he had the radar on me. But you know what? I never get a bad attitude with him. So you know what he's doing? He's doing his job. He's trying to protect me and those around me. Amen. And I try not to let my kids see me get a bad attitude about that thing. But it's funny that when the preacher's preaching, and all of a sudden the red and blue lights come on in your heart of conviction, instead of dealing with our sin, we just want to take it out on the preacher. You know, I've gotten some bad things in the mail before. I've gotten some bills, Brother Frank, that I opened up and went, what? I did not use that much water this month. Hello? We only bathe on Saturdays. How? I am from Arkansas. Keep that in mind. But you know, I've never one time ran back out to the postman the next day when he showed up. Why did you give me this? But yet the preacher, he delivers the mail. He didn't write the mail, he's just delivering it. And everybody gets mad at the preacher. I say we need to get all together submitted to God and to the authorities that God puts in our life. And I promise you, your family will be better for it. Amen. Another thing I see about Paul, he was altogether steadfast. Look in verse number 22. He said, having therefore obtained help of God. By the way, I'm glad we can get help from God. When I can't get help from the bank, when I can't get help from the doctor, when I can't get help from the government, I'm glad I can always go to the throne room of God and He is standing there, amen, ready and willing to help me. I praise God for that. But Paul said, because of that help, I continue unto this day. He said, the only way I'm able to continue is because there was a God that helped me and sustained me. And Paul was steadfast in the work of God. That word steadfast, you know what it means? It means to be seated. Paul said, I'm seated. In other words, when the winds of compromise blow, just anchor down and say, I'm not changing. I'm not going with the compromise. I'm not going to be blown about with the wind. I'm steadfast. Man, on this King James Bible, I'm seated. On the doctrine of the virgin birth of Christ, I am seated. On the doctrine, amen, of the pre-millennial, pre-tribulational return of Christ, I'm seated. And I'm not going to let anybody, amen, sway me or another way. Brother Frank, we need to get seated on this old-time religion. I mean, the winds of compromise, and the winds of charismatic, the winds of contemporary, they're a-blowing, amen? And we need to just get seated and say, I'm staying with the old songs of Zion. I'm staying with the blessed old book. I'm staying with old-time shouting and worship, amen? I'm going to get seated. I'm going to be firmly planted. I'm going to be steadfast. Because the winds are blowing, y'all.
Amen.
Preacher, how many preachers could we sit down and talk about? You know them and I know them. They ain't in the work anymore.
Some of them are out in sin, or some of them just compromised and don't want anything to do with us because we're seated. We know a bunch of them. Brother and sister, we need everybody, not just preachers, and not even just men. Ladies, we need ladies to get in the work of God. You can't preach. Everybody go, oh. My wife, man, she likes to. She's a pretty good one, too. But ladies, we need some ladies that will be steadfast in the work of God. Ladies, we need you. We need you to help us serve God. I think sometimes, amen, we make light of the ladies. We need ladies that will serve God. We need ladies that will be prayer warriors. You know, one thing I believe that helps me, I know I have a responsibility as a preacher to be right with God and prayed up and close to God and study and prepare. But you know, one thing that helps me is knowing that I've got a godly wife that's praying for me. And I got a godly mother back in Little Rock, Arkansas that's a praying for me. Amen. We need all the people, young people, we need some young people that'll make up their mind they're going to serve God and get steadfast in this thing. Get steadfast in the work of God, in your walk with God. Quit being up and down in one week and out the next week, and amen, just get planted. Get in this thing and get steadfast. Preacher shouldn't wonder from week to week if you're going to be here or not. It shouldn't surprise him when you do show up. It ought to surprise him if you're not there. Well, let me give you one more. Y'all hadn't liked most of these, so I'll throw one more in here. See if it'll go any better. You know what we need to be? We need to be altogether separated. Not just almost, but altogether. In the writings of Paul, I'll not look at all the verses this morning, but he talked about all kind of things about being in the world, not of the world. He wanted to be different. He wanted to crucify that old man, that old flesh. And he even said, amen, abstain from all appearance of evil. Paul was so separated, he said, let's just not just stay away from the evil. Let's stay away from even the appearance of evil. Now, a lot of your new Bibles, they change that. It says just stay away from evil. Paul said the appearance of evil. You know what? I read this about Billy Graham. I know we may disagree with Billy Graham on some things. But here he is. He's almost 100 years old now. Been preaching the gospel for many years. Have you ever noticed you've never heard an accusation of immorality against Billy Graham? Not that I know of, Brother Frank, unless I miss something. Not one. But you know, Billy Graham, his testimony is this. He said in all his life he never would get in an elevator with just him and another woman that wasn't his wife. He said he would just wait on the next elevator. That's abstaining from even the appearance of evil. Now, here's the thing about separation. And I realize you say separation in a Baptist church. Everybody thinks it's a cuss word. They're all like, I also realize that there are very mean-spirited preachers who have just are self-righteous Pharisees, amen, and they've abused the subject of separation. I understand that. But I think what we've done is we've gotten so burnt out on some of those mean-spirited, hard-nosed guys that we've, amen, swung the pendulum completely the other way to where it's just anything goes. Do what you want to do. Live however you want to live. And we'll just bring you in here and tell you how wonderful you are. But you got the wrong preacher this morning if you think that. Because I know what I am. And I know what you are. We're all made out of the same old flesh. And the Lord commands us to be separated. Over there in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter number 6. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. Amen. Biblical separation is as much of a doctrine as the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we are not to be isolated. There are those that just, you know, they almost put their family in a little bubble. And they're isolated. Well, you'll never reach the world if you isolate yourself from the world. The idea is that we are in the world. In other words, tomorrow you're going to go to work in the world. Tomorrow, come fall, you young teenagers and kids, you're going to go back to school, most of you, in the world. And that's what we do. But the idea is that we are to be different. The idea is that there ought to be a difference in our lives, amen, and that this lost world will say, there's something different about him, there's something different about her, and I want what they have, but we'll never reach them if we're just like them. We're supposed to be a witness. We're supposed to be a light in a dark world. And we'll never know. Why, you try to tell somebody they need Jesus and they'll say, why, you cuss just like I do. Why do I need Jesus? You go to the family reunion, you need Jesus. Why? Why, you're drinking the same wine I'm drinking. You're laughing down at the work, fellas. You're laughing at the same dirty jokes we laugh at. Why do I need Jesus? Why, you dress just as, you dress like a hoochie like I do. Whoop. Why do I need Jesus? You look and act just like I do. Why do you think I need to be saved? Amen. And we ought to get close to God. It ought to change us. It ought to make us different. And the lost world will see that and say, something different about them. I want what they've got. I was in Walmart the other day in West Virginia. I had to return a fishing pole that had broke. And the lady there at the counter, she was very kind and nice. But I noticed, man, this gal, she had tattoos just all up and down her arms. And amen, if you've got tattoos here and that's something you've done in the past, amen, I'm not trying to sling dirt in your face or bring up your past. Amen, let it go, let it be under the blood. That's not my purpose of telling you this. I'm just saying, this woman, I mean, it head to toe. And then she had a ring, some kind of a ring here and a ring here and a ring there. Had a big old ring through her nose. I thought, my soul, man, I spend most of the day trying to get stuff out of my nose. I sure don't want to be putting anything else in there. Amen. You know what? I'm not mad at that woman. Brother Frank, if anything, I felt sorry for her. And I thought, that's a woman who's probably lost without Christ, and she's just trying anything she can to fill that void. That's what the lost world does. Problem is, we're seeing it in the church house now. I'm not talking about lost people coming in. We're glad they're here. If you're here today, I don't see anybody like that, but even if there was, if you're lost, we're glad you're here. We want to tell you about the Lord. We want to tell you about somebody that can give you a whole lot better than something to tattoo or anything like that. But the problem is, we're seeing it up in the choir nowadays. The problem is, we're seeing it, amen, in the little youth directors. They come in, amen, these cute little youth directors straight out of Bible college with the smack of the world all over them, but say they love Jesus. I just love Jesus. Well, you sure don't look like him. Amen. God's people ain't got no business getting tattoos. So, Brother Daniel, that verse over there about marking yourself, that's in the Old Testament. That's old. Yeah, breathing started in the Old Testament too, and I'm pretty fond of it. I'm pretty sure cornbread started in the Old Testament. Woo! Yeah, we just kind of take the Bible and pick and choose. We treat it like a buffet. We treat it like Golden Corral. Just pick what we like and leave what we don't. Ain't going to work that way. Amen. We ought to look like God's people. And I realize, Brother Frank, we're independent Baptists. Amen. That means we can agree to disagree on some things. When it comes to separation, we've all got different lines. And there's certain things we just agree to disagree on and we go on. I got preacher friends and you do too. I got them. They preach against TV and going to the movies and women wearing pants and stuff like that. And I may not be on board with all that, and that's fine. We can still be friends. At the same time, I've got some friends that I would say probably have less standards than what I believe in, and that's okay too. We can agree to disagree, but we do have to agree on this thing that the Bible is clear on separation. If we're ever going to be close to God, if we're ever going to do anything for God, if we're going to be a witness for God out in that lost world, there's got to be something different.
Amen.
That much we have to agree on. Amen. There's a lot of almost. I see girls, teenagers, and women, you know, they'll say, well, I wear a dress when I go to church. Yeah, but you're going to get it just as short as you can get it. You're going to show off as much flesh as you can. Or if it's not short, it's tight, skin tight. Me and my family went to Dollywood here just a couple weeks ago. You know what I saw, man? I had never seen anything like it. Man, girls wearing the shorts so short that the pockets are hanging out. Y'all seen that? That's the new thing for this summer. You say, well, preacher, you shouldn't notice such things. Look, I'm saved. I'm happily married. I believe my wife is the most beautiful woman in the world. I ain't looking for another one. But look here, Hoss, I ain't a queer either. You can't help but notice some things. God help us. I mean, how far is it going to go? How bad is it when the guy has to stand up here a while ago and say, now no bikinis. Well, that just ought to be a given at the house of God. I know he was joking a little bit too. I understand that. But he was probably a little bit serious too. Almost, but not altogether. I go to a lot of churches, Brother Frank. I'm talking about, I go to independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Baptist churches. I'm seeing a lot of almost separation, but it ain't altogether. It's just anything goes. And we wonder why revival tarries. Amen. We got our little praise and worship teams now, and the men get up there, hair dyed all kind of different colors with a cute little earring in their ear. You know, I remember when I was growing up, they used to preach against boys wearing girls' jewelry. Amen. I don't hear much about that anymore. I can remember watching Cosby Show, season 1, 1984. And y'all remember Theo, the son, came home with an earring, and Heathcliff Huxtable was about to have a conniption fit. And now, if a Baptist preacher says anything about it, he's just a legalist. You don't even know what a legalist is. Amen. Study your Bible. I know I'm being a little hard this morning. I'm still in youth camp zone. But it's still good preaching.
Amen.
It'll still help us, I believe. Amen. Well, some of you girls, he's so cute. He's so cute with his little earring. I want to date him. I want to date. He's so cute. We're eat up with cute. Boys, girls, don't worry about cute. Amen. You marry some little boy that's cute. You marry him, and one day about 2 o'clock in the morning, somebody will be breaking into the house, and little cutie pie will roll over and say, "Go check, see what's going on." That's cute. We're eat up with cute. Cute don't win wars. Have you noticed that? Cute don't take care of ISIS. Cute has no leadership. We got plenty of cute in our churches. Amen, Brother Frank. They're sending them off to Bible college, and they're coming back cute. Wouldn't preach against a rattlesnake if it was wrapped around your neck. But they're cute. We got us a cute little preacher. Our churches are full of them. I heard y'all got a new pastor. Oh, we did. He's just the cutest little thing. Yeah, how many people are being saved? How many lives are being changed? Amen. We're eat up with cute. Cute. I don't even let my kids watch a lot of this stuff coming on the TVs now for teenagers. They got these little sissy, effeminate boys, amen, with their hair all down in their eyes. By the way, girls, if he's constantly having to do this, I wouldn't marry him either because he ain't going to be able to work. He'll spend all day trying to keep the hair out of his eyes. Amen. They're finding you one that can work. They got these little cute boys in their skinny jeans. They come strolling in the room. Hey, y'all. And the teenage girls think, oh, he's so cute. Yeah, he's probably more interested in your brother than you. That's right. Amen. We're having a good time, ain't we? Almost. Not altogether. Amen. You say, well, Brother Daniel, I don't like this kind of preaching. I want to be happy. I want to go to church and just be happy. Well, I'm glad we can get happy every now and then. You know, God's more interested in us being holy than he is happy. And I think if we'll get holy, we can say like Paul, I think myself happy. I'm talking about all together this morning. How about it? Are you almost? Or are you all together? Brother Frank, there's little pockets of revival popping up all over the state. Somebody's had to make up their mind. We're going to be all together. And not almost. You know what my prayer has been last night and this morning praying about this service? Lord, give us a little spark of revival at Harmony Baptist Church. This ain't a revival meeting. I understand that. But you got to have a scheduled revival meeting for revival to come. And you know what the Lord said? He said, go in there and let them know that this thing is bigger than almost. Because there's some of you maybe right here this morning, you're holding out on God. You're almost saved, but you are not altogether saved. You're almost, but almost will land you straight in hell. You better make sure, you better be like Paul and be able to say altogether, altogether. And then there's some of us, we haven't surrendered to God. We won't submit to the preacher. We won't submit to God's word. We're not steadfast. We sure ain't going to be separated because we want to fit in. I'm going to tell you, you want revival to come? You better go from almost all together.